For that. Well, let's look at Luke chapter 16 today. Luke chapter 16 in your Bibles. Luke chapter 16. And we've taken a by the way, let me while you're turning there, after the anniversary revival, we'll be starting up Sunday school. We'll have Sunday school at 10 for ladies and little girls and so forth. We're not going to have the small classes yet. We'll have ladies and we'll have the men. And Miss Creed and I are going to be teaching on the detours of life. You ever had a detour? So you'll want to be here for that. Everybody has a detour. It's good stuff because it's from the Bible. And so we'll be starting that at 10 o'clock in the morning. So we'll have to get a wake-up call committee. Amen? And so we'll have a good time with that. Well, Luke chapter 16, I want to begin reading in verse 19. It says, there was a certain man, a rich man, which was clothed in fine and in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom was a place where the saints before Jesus came and died on the cross and rose again. That's where the saints were before he took them to heaven with him. The Bible says in Ephesians, he led captivity captive. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell lift up his eyes, being in torment, seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. The word hell here is a word that's translated Hades, which means a temporary place of the lost awaiting judgment. Those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Where is the permanent place? We'll get that to that in a moment. There's no such thing as soul, sleep, or purgatory. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Well, it's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. It's never mentioned. Hell is a real place. I know you've heard of C.S. Lewis. He went by a gravestone in a graveyard, and it said, here lies an atheist dressed up and no place to go. C.S. Lewis said quietly, I bet he wishes that were so. Mm-hmm. Why would God send people to hell, as people say? He doesn't. The Bible says in Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I hear people say that all the time. And so from this scripture, let me say hell is eternal. Evangelist Freddie Gage said this, eternity is too long to be wrong. Are you saved? Are you Christian? Once you pass from this life, there's no coming back. That's it. No matter what you've done, doesn't matter. No matter where you've come from, doesn't matter. It's whether or not you know Jesus.
Amen.
Hell is a place of pain. Mark chapter 9 and verse 46 says, where their worm dieth not, and their fire is not quenched. Luke 13:28 says, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when they shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, you yourselves thrust out. It's a place of pain. Mm-hmm. It's a place, hell is a place of fear. Many people say, well, I'll just wait. I'll just wait. I won't make a decision today. And they toss and turn when they're sleeping, and they keep their heads on a swivel, and they try not to get into any place that would threaten their lives. Why do you think they do this? Well, it's because they know they're headed there. Hell is a place of sadness. There's no hope. There's no joking around. Hell is a place of isolation. Hebrews chapter 12, 8 and verse 12, or Matthew chapter 8 and verse 12 says this, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I've heard many people say, well, all my friends will be there. You better get some new friends.
Amen.
You better find a new friend. Hell is a place of separation. There's going to be no family, no Facebook, no fellowship. There'll be no good night or how you doing. Hell is a place of separation. I've met a lot of people, and I want you to know that good people are in hell.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's right.
The Bible says in Romans 3:10, there is none righteous. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. I've known a lot of good people, but good people are in hell. There's good vision in hell. In verse 23 of our text, it says he lift up his eyes. He saw Abraham afar off. There is a good vision. We shouldn't wait to get there to have that. Good prayers are in hell. Notice he prayed and asked Abraham to dip the tip of his finger in water to cool his tongue. He prayed that he would go back and tell his brothers. There's good prayers, and there's good memory in hell. Look at verse 25. But Abraham said, remember thou in thy lifetime receiveth good things. I'm going to tell you something. We have to have some things, but some things we don't. And if your life is built on having things, then you're in for a sad awakening. As a matter of fact, I got to tell you something. Miss Creed and I were talking, I think, some time ago about the kids. You know, our kids, and we hate, you know how you go through it, but your kids. You know, we have three kids and grandkids, and if she hears about something they need, it's over. I mean, you know, Cash App, you know, and she's going to send them something. But we, you know, there were times when we didn't have anything.
Yeah.
We thought, but we made it. You know, you get to looking around at people that have a bunch of stuff. Sometimes that's all they have is stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
Huh? Mm-hmm. You know, all they do on Saturday afternoon is pet their car till it shines real good.
Yeah.
Open the hood to look at it, look at the motor, mm-hmm. And then Monday it breaks down. And so stuff. And let me tell you something. There's good prayers in hell. Notice he prayed. There's good memory in hell. In verse 25, he remembered. And then there's good theology in hell. He finally realized that that what God said he meant. And there is a God. Mm-hmm. And there is a place called hell. I want you to know. Notice this. There are good priorities in hell. He didn't want his family to go to that place. Finally, he got the right priorities. And there's good intentions in hell. Yeah, one of those days I'll get saved, preachers. I've got plenty of time.
Mm-hmm.
I've got plenty of time. I was working with a young man. I was working with a young man. on a job. I was actually overseeing it at the church, my home church, and I was watching, just kind of keeping things right. And he worked with the iron workers, and they were from Wilmington, Newark, Delaware, that area. And on a Friday, he came up to me at lunchtime. He said, "I think I remember you." He said, did you go to Elkton Christian School?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Do you remember that we had a teen activity at First Baptist Church in Newcastle?" He said, "And there was not an empty seat, and that was a huge auditorium." He said, "Yeah." He said, "I think you were the preacher." And I don't remember what I said. I was the preacher. I was scared to death. I was a teenager. And he said "That night I got saved."
Praise the Lord.
And Monday the guys came in, and he had been killed on a motorcycle accident that weekend. You know, we really don't know when we say "see you later" how long that will be. Life is fragile. We all have an appointment with death. So I want to think about, just for a few minutes today, what's going on in hell today? What's happening in hell today? We've had a description, but I want to give you three things that are happening very quickly. Number one, there are new arrivals. There are new arrivals. I don't know that there's a conductor, or I don't know if there's somebody. I don't think there's a Walmart welcomer there with a smiley button, right? But there's people arriving every day. Paul said, "To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." That means if I die knowing Christ, I'm going to be with Jesus.
Amen.
And the flip side of that is, if I die without Christ, I'm going to be in hell. The man, it says, in hell he lift up his eyes. Not on the way, but in hell. A person that enters eternity without Christ is doomed. Every day more and more people die. We just listen to the news, and we hear of 20 people shot here, or 50 people die here, or a family dies here, or this person dies here, or this person is accidentally shot by an errant bullet from a gangland member. And we just take this all in every day. But folks, people are dying every day. And those that die without Christ, they are new arrivals to hell. We all have an appointment with death. If you die today without Christ, that's where you're going to spend eternity. And for those of you, and me too, we need to be telling others, because people like Dawn's mom that die without Christ will wake up in hell. There's no question. It's God's word. I want you to notice, secondly, what's going on in hell today. If you look in verse 23... in verse 25, it says, "In hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments." Being in torments. In verse 25, it says, in verse 24, he says, "And cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Notice verse 25, he says, "Remember now in thy lifetime," he said, "you received the good things, Lazarus, likewise, Lazarus, evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art what? Tormented." Folks, you're not going to get your Adirondack chair out and your iced tea and bask in the sun. It's fire and brimstone. It's torment for eternity. People say, "Oh no, it couldn't be for eternity." Well, that's what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
Tormented in this flame. Imagine being in a flame and burning and not being able to die. Having the regret. Having the remembrance of that person that knocked on the door and said, "Hey, I want to tell you about Jesus," and you shut the door.
Mm-hmm.
We ought to get a picture of that, folks, because we need to understand that our relatives and our friends will be in hell without Christ. I want to say number three, and I'm close. Not only is there new arrivals, not only old pain, but future doom. Say, so what do you mean? There's no future. Look at Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14. Revelation chapter 20. You did bring your Bible to church, didn't you? Mm-hmm. Revelation chapter 20. Well, let's just read verse 11. Let's just read this text to get the picture. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now, there's two judgments in the Bible. There's the great white throne judgment. That's this. If you're there to be judged, that means you're going to spend eternity without Christ. There's the judgment seat of Christ, which we as Christians, when Jesus comes back, we'll be raptured away, and those that are dead in Christ will rise, and we'll meet in the air, we'll have our new bodies, we'll be in heaven, and we'll all stand before Jesus to give account. Not to stay in heaven, but for reward or loss of reward. But if you're here at the great white throne judgment, it's because you didn't know him. And the Bible says there in verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great. You say, what's that mean, everybody? Stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The book of life is a book that when you're born into this world, your name's there. If you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your name remains there. If you die without Christ, or when we're raptured, you remain here without Christ, the Bible teaches your name will be blotted out. And so only those who know him will be in that book. And so the book and which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things were written in the books according to their works. The books are the records of the sins of those standing before God, because you're going to be judged. If you stand before God at the great white throne judgment, you're going to be judged on your works. By the way, you can't work your way to heaven. They'll say, did not we cast out devils in thy name? Did not we do this? Did not we do that? And he'll say, depart from me, ye that do iniquity. I never knew you. We'll be there, by the way. We'll be watching. We don't want to watch people who we had a chance to tell and never told. And notice what it says there. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell were delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to his works. Anybody that's ever lived that does not know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, ever lived, will stand. You say, well, if they were eaten by a shark, they'll be there. They were burned up, they'll be there. They were blown up, they'll be there. They'll be there. So how do you know? That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
Now, notice verse 14. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Those folks will be literally before the eyes of saints. God will cast their souls into the lake of fire. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So what's going on in heaven today, or hell today? New arrivals, old pain, and future doom. Future doom. Say, preacher, what's the application today? If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this ought to concern you enough to look into knowing him today. I was a 16-year-old preacher's kid before I trusted Christ as my Savior. If I'd have died before June 1974, that day at that youth conference, I'd be in hell today. But Jesus saved me. I was a preacher's kid. Carried my Bible to church. Wore a tie to church. Sang the hymn. Sang in front of church. Had the lingo. But I didn't have the Savior. If you die without Christ, you spend eternity in a place called hell. If you do not warn your friends and your family of this place called hell, you'll be held accountable. This ought to consume us. This ought to consume our hearts and our minds. You say, well, preacher, I got some people that aren't my friends. Yes. Everybody's got people that don't like you and mistreat you, but they're still a soul. They still need somebody to care for their soul. To care for their soul. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We could spend 2 hours on a message from hell, but I want you to understand simply there's a place, and it's a place you don't want to go, and it's a place you don't want your friends to go. And you say, preacher, I'm here today, and if I died, I know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'd be in heaven today. Would you slip your hand up? I know Jesus is my Savior. I know Jesus. You may put your hands down. And you're here and you say, preacher, I don't know Jesus is my Savior. I can't say that. I don't completely understand. But if I know my heart, I really want to go to heaven when I die. I don't want to go to hell. And I'll let you pray for me. I'll slip, nobody will embarrass you. I'll slip my hand up and I'll pray for you. Nobody's looking but me. I could not lift my hands with the others, but I'll slip my hand up now. Would you just slip your hand up, put it right back down? Just put it up and right back down. I don't know Jesus as my Savior. It's not about becoming a Baptist or saying anything. But if you don't know today, we can show you from the Word how you can know Jesus as Savior in just a few minutes. Hey, preacher, pray for me. Anybody out here like that? Anybody? Anybody? Now you're here and you're Christian and God spoke to your heart. You've got friends. You got friends. You know they do not know. And God has burdened your heart for them. Would you slip your hand up? Let me pray for you. God bless you. God bless your hands all over. Let's stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we pray that you'd bless the invitation. We pray that you'd work in our hearts. We pray that you'd help us to respond. And Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know you as Savior, we pray that they take that step and let someone show them how to know they have a home in heaven. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed as the pianist plays. If God spoke to your heart, you want to get alone with Him. Say, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved. I've never been saved. You step out and come down. We'll let someone show you from the Bible how you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt when you walk out this door that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Do you have that assurance today? Don't put it off. We're not guaranteed another day, another hour. Folks are coming. Folks, are we really burdened about souls? Are we burdened? Do we see our relatives? Do we see our friends in hell, tormented in this flame? See you today. good to see you today. And let's anybody have a testimony about Hoosier One? Anybody been praying or been able to talk to anybody?
Praying for my friend Scott.
Okay. Praying for your friend Scott. Anybody else? Yes.
Young man named Philip.
Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else? You got that name on your bookmark? Got it? Let's be praying. What's that?
I'll say amen.
Amen. Yes.
I have a lot of prospects, but I don't have a name yet.
Okay. Well, we'll say prospects. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, good to have you folks back to visit with us. Maria, right?
Yeah.
Good to have you.
Thank you.
Amen. And don't be strangers. We're open 3 times a week. Amen. And we love to have you for the anniversary revival and those goings on. And we'll have a good time with that. Well, let's close in prayer. Good to see you. Pete, how about closing for us, brother?
Father, thank you for this wonderful message that we received from you today. Lord, I pray that you will help us to take heed of it, Lord. Lord, as we're about to leave you, Lord, I pray that you will give us safe travel mercies and bring us back to your house. In Jesus' precious name, amen.